New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers are 1-2, and it's all Brandon Ayuk's fault. He is public enemy number one in Santa Clara. Is that fair? We'll discuss that and more next on 49ers After Dark. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 49ers After Dark, presented by the Sleeper app. We're your host, Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor. We're going to talk about Brandon Ayuk at a certain point, but right now, we got to be the angel on the 49ers shoulder, or the therapist talking to him in the therapist room, or the voice inside their head, because right now it seems like the war the Niners have to win is with themselves, and it's mental. What do you think, Jesse? What is the Niners' state of mind right now?
Man, the state of mind seems to be all over the place, depending on the player, the coach. Really, to me, like, this week should have been about reflection. And I don't know that it was, Grant. You know, I think Bosa had a sobering message, in my opinion, after the game. He talked about how they needed to feel the loss. And to me, feeling the loss is reflecting, taking everything in, realizing that just because you have a lot of talent, it doesn't make you the best team, that you have to come together and you have to make changes. You can't just do what you've been doing because it's not working. You can parade around like you're the best team, but until you actually prove it, it means nothing. These teams around the NFL, even when they're banged up, I mean, any given Sunday, there's a lot of good players across the league, and teams that are well coached are going to give you trouble no matter who you are. So when I sat back and looked at it, and the thing that frustrated me a little bit was you had Debo last week talking about how this is the best team and has been for 6 years. And then yesterday you have Demo come out and retweet a Rams tweet from Sunday and say, oh, you know, even a garbage can gets a steak from time to time. It's like, well, hold on. Did you really reflect? Did you really feel this loss, or is it same old, same old? And then today, to me, like if I was going to give the 49ers advice on what they need to do, to me, the coaching staff needs to step up. And when I look at things and I hear Kyle Shanahan talk about the defense and he talks about some of the changes, he almost talks about it as if it's a talent issue on defense, not a schematic issue. And I couldn't disagree more. The 49ers this year, Grant, remind me so much of last year's Seahawks from the standpoint that I thought last year's Seahawks, the defense, had a ton of talent. And I predicted them to be much better than what they were. But what I didn't account for was how bad the coaching was and how bad they were schematically. This defense is almost identical to that defense. It's extremely talented. But right now, schematically, they're not doing anything creative. Whatever you see pre-snap is what you get. Most of the time they're rushing four. They hardly stunt. They hardly twist. They hardly blitz. In fact, 6.5% blitz rate, lowest in the NFL. And then they don't roll coverage post-snap. Every single time they give you one high pre-snap, they're running one high post-snap. If they give you two high pre-snap, they're running two high post-snap. Everything they're doing is vanilla, and it doesn't matter how talented you are. You've got to put these guys in a position to win, and that's what I thought Staley was brought in for. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be the case. Kyle seems to be fine with it schematically. it's going to be a problem all year if they don't fix it. So to me, if I were to give advice to the 49ers, it would be reflect, make the necessary changes. Don't assume that what has been working will continue to work. This is a week-to-week league. It changes very quickly. And please don't rest on past years. Just because you've been able to come back and win in the past, this is not 2 years ago. This is not 3 years ago. This is 2024. The players are different. The coaches are different. You have to come together and show that you can actually win in this league this year.
It was crazy is that I agree with you. It seems like the defense is, I completely agree with you. They're struggling because of the scheme that's outdated. It's the same scheme that Seattle had last year. And that's what Kyle wanted. Nick Sorensen was with the Seahawks for a long time. Robert Saleh came from that tradition. D'Amico Ryans came from that tradition. Steve Wilks did not. And I think Kyle felt like, oh, well, you know, we strayed from what we do. We got to get back to what we do. No one does this anymore for a reason. It's not effective. And you see Kevin O'Connell. I mean, like other coaches from the Kyle Shanahan tree, offensive coaches aren't looking for Pete Carroll disciples to run their defense anymore. Like Kevin O'Connell is bringing in a guy who runs pressure. Look last week, the Saints with Clint Kubiak, talk of the league, right? Just unstoppable. Goes and faces Vic Fangio, who is not a Pete Carroll guy, and he shuts him down to 12 points. And it's like, it's no secret how to shut down the Kubiak-Shanahan offense. You put like six guys in the line of scrimmage because it's hard to run against that, and it's hard to do play action against that, and you got to be prepared for blitzes out of that look. And the Kubiak-Shanahan offense is not strong against that. And just rushing forward and hanging back, that's what Kyle wants. It's what all these coaches want you to do. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they fire Staley midseason and replace him with, excuse me, if they fire Sorensen midseason and replace him with Staley, because I think they got to get away from this Pete Carroll scheme. It might be too late, though. I mean, what can Staley do midseason?
That's a great question. If you go back and you watch the game, Matthew Stafford knew exactly what was coming every single play. And when he didn't, all he had to do was one thing. He would motion one player. And every time they motioned a player, the 49ers would rotate and drop into whatever coverage they were going to do post-snap. Yeah. So if they were showing one high and he wasn't sure if they were going to rotate, he'd just motion a player across. And as soon as they would do that, the other safety would just drop back into coverage, or he would come up and play man or do whatever he was going to do. It was so obvious pre-snap, exactly what the 49ers were doing all game long.
I have a theory. So when the Niners brought in Staley, you know, a lot of people thought, okay, well, he's going to be the evolution of this defense. He's going to put his little mark on it. So far, he hasn't. Hardly at all.
You want to know what's changed? The only thing that's changed is your defensive ends are standing up from time to time. That's it.
And they do some five-man fronts here and there. Otherwise, no difference in terms of pressures or coverages. Is it possible that he's just being quiet? Hey, I don't want to overstep. I'm just the assistant head coach. Don't ask me. I don't know. And he'll just let Sorensen sink. And then he can replace Sorensen. I mean, would that make more sense than to just whisper all the answers into Sorensen's ear? Not that he has all the answers. I'm just saying that'd be kind of diabolical to do that to a teammate. But these guys are very Machiavellian. It's a thought.
Yeah,
or maybe Staley just doesn't have good ideas either. Maybe that's the simplest idea.
Maybe also Staley just came from a uber talented defensive team, and their defense was absolutely atrocious year after year after year. Maybe that's
and
just
now it's good
possible.
Without it.
Interesting.
Okay,
how
so
that
let me
works.
Get back to the topic though. Like the voice inside their head, there's so much negativity, and it's very much like we're coming from it. It's like you guys are not taking this seriously. You guys are walking around like you think you're the best. And maybe some of them are. Maybe Diamador Lenore is or Debo. But I don't know. Like the way Nick Bosa has been talking the last few days, he seems like he's lost a lot of confidence. He even said he hasn't been sleeping, which means like, God, like you really can't turn the page. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like they shouldn't have lost to the Rams. You can understand losing to the Vikings on the road. The Vikings are 3-0. They're a good team. You can't... Nick Bosa will be 75 and he'll be wondering like, I can't believe you freaking lost to the Rams that day. I understand that. But I think, and Kyle today, he looks like he hasn't slept in days. He looks like he was in a mood today. He really looked like he hadn't slept. And it's like, man, I think beating up on yourselves isn't necessarily the right thing to do after week three. Like I'm going to put it in like golf terms because I've been golfing. They had a good first hole. They parred it. They had a bad hole two and hole three. Now the caddy's job is to come and be like, hey, it's over. It's over, baby. You were great. That's not you. Let's focus on the, you're gonna do great from here on out. Like it's all about a positive mindset right now. Yeah, mm-hmm. You blew it the last 2 weeks. You're gonna take care of business with the Patriots. You're great. You are the 49ers. You're not some team that's going to collapse this year. You're the team that always figures it out and goes on a run. The Niners need that confidence right now because they're not exuding it. And I think that's Kyle's job. Be a therapist.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. I mean, hole two and hole three can affect hole two and hole three, or they can affect four, five, and six.
And that's on you.
And what are you going
to do? That's on you. Yep. And right now, like if the Niners were a golfer and they had a caddy, the caddy's whole job would be saying woosah. Whoa, 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 whoa. Two bad holes in a row. You let two affect three. Let's not let three affect four. Okay. You're the man. I'm here to remind you of that. And that's what Kyle's there. Because it's like if he's got all this anxiety and he hasn't slept, what's the team gonna think? We're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's interesting is they have everything lines up so perfectly for them the next 3 weeks. Because if you really look at it, you've got a 3 week season so far. Your next 3 weeks, if you go 3-0 in that next 3 week season, you go from last place to first place in the NFC West, most likely, because now you're 2-1 in the NFC West. You've beaten Seattle head to head. You've beaten Arizona head to head. Seattle is undefeated now, but there's a good chance they lose to Detroit this weekend. And if you beat them, now all of a sudden you're ahead of them in the division, and here you are, you're in first place. So they've got a real opportunity ahead of them against teams that are very beatable, in my opinion. I think Seattle's way better than they were last year. I still don't know if that team with Geno Smith can beat the 49ers. So you've got a great opportunity ahead of you. You go 3-0, and all of a sudden everything that's been bad through 3 weeks, all forgotten about, everything.
Okay, that being said, what is the 49ers' identity this season? In the past, it was cut and dry. This is a team that has an elite defense and an elite offense as well, but it's a complementary style offense. It's rather slow. It doesn't use tempo. It runs the ball a lot. It's trying to win time of possession. It is explosive, but... It's a run first defense oriented team. What is the identity now?
We've been seeing this for 2 years. If you've paid attention, it started not even before Wilkes, halfway through the 2022 season, you started to see a little bit of a shift when CMC came aboard and then Purdy took over, that the offense started stepping it up and the defense started sliding back a little bit. Then last year, a little bit of a slide back from the defense, still good, but a slight slide back from the defense and an uptick from the offense. And I think you've seen it even more this year where the defense has taken a complete step back. Now, maybe they can get it back together, but right now you cannot rely on this defense. This is a balanced offensive team. And this is a team that is going to have to win going forward behind their offense. The offense is clearly the best unit. The special teams is an issue. The defense is an issue. So you're going to have to win with your offense. And I think more often than not only are you going to have to win with the offense, but you're going to have to win through the right arm of Brock Purdy. It's going to be passing because
it's not play action either.
Nope, not at all. You're going to have to win with a drop back or a shotgun passing game, spreading teams out, big plays downfield because Yak's not there either. It's very interesting because this team is so different offensively than I think they've ever been, with the style that they're going to have to win with. So to me, this is a Brock Purdy offensive-led team. That's how they're going to have to win. This unit is the most important right now.
I agree. The identity, I mean, it really, Purdy wasn't the identity of the team. It was McCaffrey. It was Bosa. Mm-hmm. It was Warner. Mm-hmm. Now it's Purdy. And it's good that it's happening before he gets paid because we got to see what it looks like. But so far, he's been doing his part. It's interesting. Like, to me, the way I look at it is, defenses are going to force the Niners into that. Injuries too, but defenses, opponents will force the Niners into having that identity. And it's like, well, is that because they think that's Brock's weakness, or is it because they think that's Kyle's weakness? And to me, that's the weakness of Kyle's scheme. I actually think Brock could thrive in that kind of an offense. I think he's smart enough. I think he's talented enough to put him in the shotgun and give him control at the line of scrimmage to set protections, change of play, call a hot route, whatever. And I think he could do really well, like the best quarterbacks Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's like that, but I think he could do that. And I don't know that Kyle will ever enable him to do that. Something to think about. If this strategy works, and the Niners want to make Brock Purdy their highest paid player, they're going to have to figure out, you know, why they can't just put him in the shotgun and win. We'll see.
You want to know one thing that's clearly missing from this offense? And multiple times I noticed it throughout the course of the game. It's interesting because when you're watching a game live and you're up high enough to see everything playing out, you get such a different perspective. It's easy to watch a game on TV and then go back and watch all 22. You kind of already have an idea of what's going on. But mid-game, when you're watching from up high, and I'm sure this happens to you, you get so many ideas that just come to you throughout the game. And one thing that I noticed that would be great to have with this team that most teams across the league have, and the 49ers do not have this built in, when you get one-on-one coverage with your best receiver, and it's clear, it's one-on-one, there is no ability for Brock to tap the helmet or give a symbol. And just, you know what? Whatever play we were doing, whatever play you were doing is now in the trash, and we're going one-on-one nine route. Let's try to win this. That is not in their offense at all. And there were so many times that Ayuk was on Tre'Davious White, who he could cook every time if he wanted to. And it's like, man, if you could just touch your wrist or something and then send a nine route, Brock would cook.
Same thing happened
against
the Vikings. They were at the goal line. They throw that that slant to Deebo Samuel for 2 yards, mm-hmm. where he ends up hurting his calf. If you look at that play, Ayuk is one on one on the backside against a corner with no safety over there. Like, again, Brock, say like, nope, not that's our guy. Whatever it is.
Yeah,
I mean, Aaron Rodgers can do that. Tom Brady could do that. Peyton Manning can do that. I think if you're gonna have a top level drop back passing game, it can't be Kyle Shanahan micromanaging it. That's when you got to let it go and give it over to the quarterback. And I don't know if he has it in him, man. Like, and that's why I feel like at a certain point, he may not be the right coach for this team. I think he's a great coach for a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback, because he'll work around him. Look at what he did with Jimmy. It's all about the run game, the defense, yards after the catch. That's the identity, not the quarterback. He's great at building a team where the identity is not quarterback first. But once you have that quarterback, he's competing with him. He's not empowering him. And I think he's ultimately holding him back. But it's only week three. We'll see.
I do want to say real quick, though, that
the identity of this team is very much a bunch of old guys who've gotten paid and haven't shown up yet, and a few young guys who are carrying this team. It's 1-2, but like, Juwan Jennings is very much the identity of the 2024 49ers, much more than Kittle or Ayuk or anyone else. He's asserted himself in ways that very few players in this team have so far. And I think that's like a silver lining of this team. Like, wait a second. The Juwan Jennings story is incredible. The Jordan Mason story is very good. The Brock Purdy story is getting better. So it's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad. And that's why they need an infusion of youth, whether, you know, that's Green, that's Winters, that's whoever. I mean, if you look at the players that are playing best right now, Pooney, rookie, Mason. I mean, we know that what this is year three for him, but he's a young player. He's never really played much.
Redshirt rookie.
Yeah, you've got Brock in year three, you know. So, I mean, Jennings, seventh round pick, but still younger as far as being down the depth chart. He's way back. So it's, why not? Why not the Cowanies? Why not the Greens? Why all of them? Get them all in there. Let's see what we can do. Winters, whoever.
I mean, the way I saw it was in preseason, Cowing looked good, better than Bell. And then at linebacker, I thought Winters looked good, and he flashed, and he was clearly fast. But I thought Curtis Robinson was maybe the most consistent.
Him too.
So put him on the field. Like, he's young. He played well. He earned it. How did Campbell earn it? Last year? 2 years ago? 4 years ago? Like, what about now? I would like to see Curtis Robinson playing. D Winters too. Both of them. It's not like Demetrius Flanagan Foles has done anything.
Yeah, I completely agree. God, I was going to say something too, and I forgot what it was.
Sorry, I cut you off.
It's not been that important. Yeah, geez, Grant. Now I can't.
It's on me. I got excited.
I mean, there's
a little bit of like, man, this team is old. This team is just got paid. They're all injured. They're not here. It's like, true. But there's this like new wave of the next generation of 49ers. And it's, you know, Ayuk might be maybe part of it. It's been an interesting couple of games for him. We're going to talk about him more. it's really interesting to see Juwan Jennings assert himself. And maybe that was just a one-off against a bad defense. Or not. We'll see this week because he's going to be starting again. Debo's still out. And right now, he's the third leading receiver in the NFL, Jesse.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, that's the truth. It's kind of bizarre to say. All right. Give me two players that need to step up and two players that need to step up out of the starting lineup.
Okay. The two players that need to step up, I'll give you one on offense, one on defense. Defensively, Nick Bosa. Especially now that Hargrave's out. Bosa was great in the press conference. You know, we need to learn from this loss. We need to really accept it. We need to sit in it and bask in it for a while. I love all those things. And today he was super disappointed as well. He has to be a difference maker. He has to be able to take over games. It's not enough to get a few pressures here or there. Like, you have to be an absolute game changer and game wrecker, a noticeable one. So he has to step up. And with no Hargrave, right now you've got, and this is shocking to me too, but you've got Floyd on the opposite side. And I said in the offseason, man, Floyd is the best partner opposite of Bosa that they've had since Dee Ford. Like, he's the perfect player opposite of him. He's done nothing. He's Zero. One of the worst pass rushers in the whole NFL from the defensive end position, according to PFF. And according to film, he's just not doing anything. He's not good against the run. He can't get home. It's awful. He hasn't done anything. Bosa has to figure out a way to be a one-man wrecking crew until everybody else can get on his level. That's just the way that it has to be. So Bosa has to step up.
And also, then the other one has to step up because right now he's giving nothing.
I agree. He definitely does. And then, you know, the obvious one that everybody's talking about is Ayuk. I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into it. Right now, Brandon Ayuk doesn't have the numbers. But everybody talks about separation, and it's all a BS stat. Do you realize that in week 3, he had the best separation rate of any receiver in any individual game all season long? So it's not that Brandon Ayuk's not getting separation. Brandon Ayuk can't scheme for himself. He can't throw to himself. But what he can do is catch the damn ball when it's thrown to you.
Yeah.
You cannot have, what, he has two drops already two this drops. Season? You can't.
So you Ronnie can't Bell. Do you don't want to be in the same sentence as Ronnie Bell with that, man.
Exactly.
Too good for that. $30 million a year, no one wants to hear it.
Cannot happen. So in week 1, I understand it. It's your first week back. You haven't played. Okay. But now you're in week 3 and you are the guy. You cannot have any drops. So he has to be able to step up. And when the ball is thrown his way, whether that's once or it's 10 times, if it's incomplete, it cannot be because you dropped the ball. So he has to step up.
And it was crazy. Like, they're not even asking him. I mean, he doesn't even have to be the number one receiver right now because Jennings is hot. It's like, just if they give you 7 targets, catch 6, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, they gave you 10 targets last week. You caught 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying it's not all your fault, but Jennings got 12. Can I just say real quick? I'm looking at Jennings' numbers. He's been targeted 21 times this year. He's caught 18 passes. Dude, he has more. Okay, so Jennings has 18 catches for 276 yards. Justin Jefferson has 14 catches for 273. They both have had 21 targets. Jennings has caught 4 more passes and has 3 more yards. I'm not saying he's better than Justin Jefferson. I'm just saying they both have the exact same numbers and 3 touchdowns. So maybe it's Justin Jefferson and Juwan Jennings as the two greatest wide receivers in the league right now. I'm just saying. And Rashee Rice is there too, and Nico Collins. Those guys are the ones balling out early in the season. Look, Jennings may never do this again, so I think he deserves some credit. Like, what an incredible run that stretches back to the Super Bowl, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing that I... up. Yeah, well, I mean, the one catch he had along the sidelines was absolutely incredible. But, I mean, that was absolutely insane. Underthrown, it easily should have been batted down, and he just took it away from him. Fantastic. But, you know, Ayuk's job right now as the number one receiver is... Sometimes you're meant to be a decoy. And I promise you, a lot of Jennings is getting a lot of one-on-one play because of Brandon Ayuk.
The first touchdown was a function of overreacting to Brandon Ayuk.
Absolutely it was. Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. It you know, I know everybody wants to see the numbers, but as long as you're helping this team win, however you can, blocking, pulling away the double coverage so Jennings can eat, whatever that looks like, but you have to do that to the best of your ability. And then the two players that just have to get out of this lineup at all costs, there's a bunch that we can name. I'll give you the obvious one, but I'll go to defense. Yotam. How many people talked up Yotam this offseason? Like, oh my, he just had a breakout season and he's going to be so good. And I remember saying, maybe we should pump the brakes on a guy who's been in the league for like 6 years and finally had a breakout season. Maybe he just got lucky in a season. Maybe he's not that great. And guess what? He's not that great. Yotam has to get out of the lineup. Every big play, it seems like, is happening against him. And if it's not happening against him, then it's happening against Campbell. He does nothing effectively right now. He is not a good football player anymore. He's old. He's slow-footed. He's plotting out there. It's just not a good look. Get them both off the field and infuse some youth into this lineup, please.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to go back to the step-up list because I think there's more players in the step-up list than the step-off list. How about Isaac Arenda? Isaac, you're a project. You weren't supposed to be playing. We need you, man, because they're wearing down Jordan Mason right now. He's been slightly less effective in each game, and that's to be expected. I mean, he's running a lot. His style of running is very, very physical and violent. They're going to wear him down unless Isaac Arendo can actually step up and give them a good 5 to 10 carries a game. And I'm not saying he can't do it. He was just as effective in terms of yards per carry in this last game as Mason was. So he had 1 carry week 2, like 5 carries week 3. He needs to have like 10 carries, and they need to be efficient. Garendo's a big one.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And not only that, I mean, Mason is facing 8-man boxes more than any running back in the league. Like, these teams are keying in on him.
I got one more too. Juice.
Oh, okay.
Juice, you make a lot of money, dude. You need more than 6 yards. And we had 6 yards and a penalty.
Yeah, he did.
But he was but the motions were great. Like, come on, man. No Kittle. Like, you should be a star. Like, Eric Sobert shouldn't have more freaking yards than you. You're making like more than twice of what he's making. Juice. Is that too much to ask for him to do something? Or because it seems like when he gets opportunities, he comes through. So maybe I'm not just talking about him, but like Kyle, like, You need to use this guy. He was asked today, like, well, what's the hidden value of having a fullback? He's like, well, you know, teams have to honor the I formation and limits what they do. That's the only reason he's on the field? To limit coverages? Like, come on, man.
Didn't he like repeat the question back? He was like, oh, well, I mean, the great thing about having a fullback is that they're a fullback on the field. Like, wait, what? Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I feel like it's like almost, I mean, it's almost, you don't want to say Juice because you know he's not going to. He's been on the team for 8 years and they don't give him the ball. What about Kittle? I mean, he was hurt last year. He played through it. He's hurt again this year. He's really important, but like, is this the end of the line? They pushed Armstead out because he was a little injury prone 2 years in a row. Like, is this it for George? Because I was the guy saying, I like George. I got his shoes over here. Thank you, George. But I was the guy that was like, hey, you know, I think Walsh would trade him now. I think it's a year too early. Clearly it was a year too early, but I think this is the year too early. And he needs to prove that we're not a year too late right now because he got hurt week 2. Week two.
Yeah, and he's coming out.
He didn't even make it through week 2. He was having Cruz cramping up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed it last year when I went to week one's game against Pittsburgh. And then throughout the season, every time I watch him, it's like he's limping every time that he goes back to the huddle. He's got a limp. It's he's more Gronkowski than he is Kelsey. Gronkowski than Kelsey, meaning Gronkowski retired at like 29. Then he came back 2 years later, played for a season and retired again. He's the same age as Kelsey, and he's been retired twice for a couple years. Kelsey's still playing, so.
Yeah, if he's like, Kelsey's game isn't based on physicality and breaking tackles and blocking. He's very sleek. He gets separation. He avoids contact, which is like, oh, he's not a real tight end. Yeah, but he's a Hall of Famer who's had a very long career and had incredible receiving production, whereas Kittle to me is like, along with Gronkowski, those are probably the two tight ends who were the best ever at like breaking tackles. And yeah. they were also great blockers. And that's why Gronkowski would be a Hall of Famer and Kittle could have an argument for it. But that leads to a shorter career every time.
Well, and then the other obvious step out is Ronnie Bell. I don't. If not Cowing, why not Conley?
Yeah.
Why was Conley? I don't. Yeah. That was strange.
Like Conley actually made plays for them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. And yes, in the Super
Ronnie
Bowl.
Bell hasn't even made plays in preseason, man. He's had these same drops in preseason and college. I like the way he moves. He's intriguing. You can do a lot with him, but like practice squad.
He was really good the few days in training camp that I was there. I will say that.
Sure he's great. I've seen him beat Tre'Davious Ward in practice, but
yeah,
practice squad. I mean
that's exactly it. Yeah,
yeah.
Because what you've seen in games just has to overshadow what you've seen in practice. He's just too many drops, man. Too many big drops.
What does Kyle say? Like, oh, the stage is too big for you. The lights are too bright. Him.
Yeah.
Him. And like, if that's something you look for, then like, how has he passed that test? And how is he ready for this? I understand that Jacob Cowing dropped a punt. Maybe he's not ready either. I could defer to Kyle, although his track record of not knowing about Purdy and not knowing about Jennings and not knowing about Mason makes me feel like, I'd like to see Cowing, see what he can do. But if not him, then Conley. What about Trent Taylor?
Please. I'm willing to bet that even if Pearsall was not on IR, that he also wouldn't have been on the field in that game. It's just like Kyle does, man.
Mm. I will say, if Pearsall comes back and gets on the field quicker than Cowing, I need an explanation. And I don't like it. Like last year, I asked Kyle, like, hey, Kyle, how come you're not playing Jordan Mason so much? And he's like, because he's our third running back. Like, end of story.
Yeah. yeah. Like, duh, dummy. He's number three.
And it's like, well, and now
we have
like,
a depth chart.
Yeah, it's right here. It's like, well, why aren't you playing Jacob Cowing? Because he's on the bottom of the depth chart. It's like, well, your depth chart's usually wrong. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. You want to know what your depth chart is? It's when you open Madden and there's a bunch of injured players and you don't auto reorder your depth chart. Like, that's your depth chart. You need to hit square and auto reorder that baby and get the good players actually on the field again.
Honestly, it's 2019, he never got Raheem Mostert in the starting lineup. Never. And then he did the next year. And then you had reasons for it. Well, you know, Tevin Coleman's going to, he's supposed
Tevin
to be
Coleman
like that.
Started the Super Bowl after
he had some
the
stupid reason about how he's supposed to wear down the defense with his bruising style. Like Tevin Coleman is bruising the defense. Like, no, he's just, they want you to give it to Tevin Coleman. That's the best thing you could ever. Remember when they used to give the ball to Tevin Coleman? That was part of their offense, like 15 carries a game to Tevin Coleman. Yeah. Like, wow. What a generous thing to do for the other team. Like, we could give it to Debo or Kittle or Mostert, but we're going to give 40% of our offensive snaps to Tevin Coleman.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Thank you. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, Kyle, let's do some sleeper picks. I think it is time. Let's see what's going on. Niners are playing the Patriots. And I don't understand. Okay, Purdy, 226 and a half against a good defense. Where did it go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ugh.
We can still talk about it, though.
We can still talk about it. 226 and a half against... Oh, he's back. Passing yards more. Rushing yards, 9.5. Which one do you like better?
Let's go passing
touchdowns,
yards.
Interception.
Passing yards, because Purdy's so hit and miss with his running. I know that last week he ran for a bunch, and so you just think he's going to do it again. I could see a scenario where he doesn't run at all.
That's true.
But 226 and a half. So this is the thing about the Patriots. Good run defense. They're top five in run defense. They're the sixth worst pass defense in the NFL. You can pass on them. So I'll take the 226. More easy.
That's good knowledge. I like that. Juwan Jennings. I wish they had yards. Anytime touchdown, receiving touchdown. I don't know how you feel. Let's do Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
83.5 rushing yards for Jordan Mason against a good run defense.
Less.
I agree. They're going to need Garendo.
Yep.
Ayuk, Juszczyk. I feel like no on the touchdown for Juszczyk is just free money.
Yeah, I do too. If it was the playoffs, if it was the Super Bowl, I would say more, because they love to just give him the ball in the Super Bowl for whatever reason. But right. Yeah, I'll say less.
What about Garendo for no touchdown? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love that too.
I mean, that's just Eric Sobert for no touchdown.
Oh my gosh, dude, this is fantastic. What are we doing?
I'm sorry, man. Oh, one more person, Brown, for the step up, step out list. Brown, man, step up. Step it seems up. Like he's getting beat every game, and it seems like he was a lot better last year.
Yeah, I agree. Also, interception, let's go less. I mean, just statistically, that seems pretty...
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett isn't going to throw the ball anyway.
Not downfield. Not sure a safety can intercept it.
Okay, let's get serious. Ramondre Stevenson, 53.5 rushing yards against the Niners.
More.
Like, yeah. What about...
Ugh. I don't like
any of these. I don't know. We might just want to call it right there.
Yeah.
I don't feel super good.
What's percent? What's percent looking at?
We can't do anything. I don't know why.
I think you can't do both quarterbacks or something. Okay. I like that. I like that right there. That's a good seven pick.
I think these really are all correct. I feel very good about all of these.
Me too.
Honestly. Those anytime touchdowns are all going to hit. Jair Brown, I don't see it. Yeah. Let's max it out.
Yeah. We're not flexing.
Let's 25 it to make 200.
I like 50. This.
100.
Oh.
No. $100. I'm doing it. You just saw me make a bad decision in real time. Look, if you guys want to make bad decisions too, you can download the Sleeper app and use promo code CONE. And if you do, you'll be instantly entered to win two tickets to the Niners Week 8 Sunday night football game against the Dallas Cowboys. And you'll be entered to win a Ricky Pearsall jersey, which is right there on over my shoulder. So use a promo code CONE when you download the Sleeper app and all of your dreams will come true.
No. Wow.
All of them.
It's a lot of promises.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay. Brandon Ayuk. He's an easy target right now. He's making $30 million a year. His production doesn't match it. And God, football fans hate nothing more than a player who doesn't live up to his contract. We already saw a video of a fan burning his jersey, which was so lame. Like, anyway, but that's happened. And, God, he's another drop away from getting booed at his own home field. Is this gratuitous? Is this too much? How do you feel?
I do think criticism is warranted. And I said that earlier about the drops. But again, I think we feel really different about Brandon Ayuk if the week before, you know, he's wide open in the end zone, Purdy's rolling to the left, he throws it to him, but he throws it to him late, it's out of bounds. If he gets a touchdown there, and then this last week on the broken coverage, if Purdy pulls the trigger and he gets 50 or 60 yards and a touchdown, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk in a whole different light. But he didn't get those things, and he has dropped passes. So it is warranted to a certain extent. However, I will say, if we're going to have that energy towards Ayuk, where is that energy for CMC? Where is that energy for Trent Williams, who's getting IVs every other game and doesn't look as near as good as he's looked in the past?
Or Bosa, the guy who's making $34 million a year to be the best player on the worst defense.
Where is that energy for Bosa? Where's that energy for Debo? Where's that energy for Kittle? Hey, like, Ayuk's not the only guy getting paid a lot of money not doing what they should be doing.
Yeah, he'd get less heat if he just wasn't out there. But he's out there. Yeah. And it's like, you're not good enough. Well, it's like, well, okay. He did miss the whole offseason. There's going to be an effect. Look at CeeDee Lamb. He's not quite himself yet either. And it seems like, again, he brought it on himself by talking, going on the pivot, saying, you know, insisting that he was worth a certain amount, that he was underappreciated. It's like, okay, well, people are going to remind you. People are jerks. Go on Twitter. I mean, I'm getting destroyed right now. I'm getting cooked. I don't even know what. So it's going to, you brought that on yourself to a degree. It's okay. You got to let it go. But I do think, like, for myself, like, it's easy for me to feed into it. He had a bad game the last couple of games, and I'm like going in on Twitter because it's fun. And people agree, and you get like a billion likes. But it's like, okay, hold on. It's not him. I mean, it's the team. If you feel like this was the wrong move, then it's like, see Kyle, see John, like, you just can't ever justify this investment. He can win all the routes. He can have the best separation score ever, but you're not going to get him the ball enough. And we tried to tell you, and I think that's probably a more intellectually honest way to go about it than being like, Brandon, you freaking freeloader.
Well, and it's also interesting because it seems like, and I don't know how, you know, when this team's good, all the praise goes to Shanahan and Lynch. But when the team's bad, it's almost like they just get forgotten and they get no heat. It's like you can be mad at the player for making a bunch of money and not performing, all of those players that I just mentioned. But when do you get mad at the front office for signing them? You can hate Trey Lance for not living up to expectation. But what about the team that traded the three first rounders, the third rounder, and drafted him? Like, what? Why don't they ever catch any heat? Like, they're the one you'd rather hold me accountable for my opinion on the quarterback than the team that actually made the mistake, spent the money, and wasted all the draft picks. That's crazy to me. So at some point, if you don't like the players getting signed for a lot of money, you don't like the trades that are made, the front office and Kyle Shanahan are the reason that all of these things are happening. So at some point, you would think you would hold them accountable and put the energy towards them, not necessarily the player.
I mean, Look, I think it's fair. Like, as someone who's starting to dabble in, you know, business and deals and sponsors and stuff, I think it's fair to want what you're worth mm-hmm. and to say, no, I'm not giving you a discount. I'm not. This is what I'm worth.
Sponsors we turn down on a regular basis.
Fair. It's business. And it's not necessarily fair for the Niners to be like, no, we want you to play for under market value. Do it for us. Come on. We're a family. Like, nah, it's business. What are you talking about? So I get that. To have his back a little bit, like the Niners could have just gave him $30 million a year. They ended up giving it to him. But, and they knew what missing an entire offseason did to Debo. They know what it did to Bosa. They took that risk. They were willing to let this happen. They knew the effect it would happen. And like after playing hardball and stressing Ayuk out for months, making him think that he may not get this, right before the season, they say, okay, here you go. Now be Brandon Ayuk. Like, man, if you wanted him to be Brandon Ayuk, you would have gave him that 4 months ago. So they're definitely complicit here.
I'm going through this at work right now, Grant. Literally, a very similar scenario where they want to have me take on a whole new division. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, cool.
So where's
then
the
you're paying me more money.
Where's the risk?
And they're like, well, we don't have the more money. I'm like, then I don't have the capacity to take on the new division. I don't know what to tell you. It's not going to happen. So you either pay me the more money because you just got rid of somebody else who was making as much money as me. I'm only asking for half. You're still saving a lot of money. So just give me, I'll take the new division, but you're going to pay me for it. And if not, then you can go hire somebody and pay double. It's up. You tell me what you want to do, but I'm not doing it just because you want me to do it. That's not how it works.
Yeah. And it's like, from Ike's perspective, it's like, you didn't have to give me this. Pittsburgh would have. Mm-hmm. You could have sent me to Pittsburgh. They wanted me. I wanted to go. Like, you wanted me here. You want to give me this money? Like, I don't understand. It does seem unfair to just blame Ayuk for everything. He brought a lot on himself, and fans are always going to attack a player over the team. But the front office should have seen this coming, and I think they're ultimately to blame.
Yeah, completely agree. And it's still early, right? Like, it's not like Ayuk is going to underperform. I mean, maybe he will, but I don't think he's going to underperform all season. I think this is going to turn around. And when it does, you know, these conversations will be forgotten. But in this moment, I feel like the frustration is highly misplaced.
It's just funny, like, as a young man or a young person making their way in the world thinking people won't take advantage of you. It's like, no, they will. They absolutely will. And it's like, I'm sure from Brandon's perspective, he was like, oh, cool. Like, this is, they love me. They like me. They drafted me. Like, all I have to do is kind of show them, like, this is what I'm worth. And they'll pay me. It's like, hey, guys, I know you offer me 26, but it turns out market says I'm worth 30. Like, how about you just match what other team? Because you want me. I want to be here. Why don't you just match it? And it's like, nah, man, that's not how you get what you want. You got to go on the pivot. You got to get a TikTok. You got to play ball. And it's like, I don't want to do that. It's stressful. I don't sleep so good. It's all this anxiety. Like, it's not fun, but you got to fight for it. These companies aren't just going to be like, oh, Brandon, let's give you more and a bonus. We freaking, and a Christmas card. Like, nah, dude, if you want to get every single penny that you're worth, you got to advocate for yourself. And it's sometimes exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes
of course
it's exhausting.
And nobody's going to do it for
you. He has no swag. He may be getting open, but he's exuding no confidence. Cut his hair. He just doesn't look the same, man.
He looks like a young Ayuk again. Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Brand new to the league Ayuk almost.
Okay, we're going to do one more topic, and then we're going to get to our Super Chats and bounce. So we see what giving a huge contract to a high-profile player can do. Brings a lot of heat on that guy. Well, wide receiver is only half of what a quarterback's making. And this offseason, a bunch of quarterbacks got some extensions that made them just outrageously rich. Tua, Goff, who else? Trevor Lawrence.
Love.
Jordan Dak. Love. Dak. Well, you take it from here.
Yeah, so you've got the top five paid quarterbacks in AAV, so average annual value, are Dak, Burrow, Love, Lawrence, and Tua. Those players on the field this year are 2-10. You've got five teams that are 3-0. Here's the quarterback pay rankings for those teams. You've got Patrick Mahomes, 13th highest paid quarterback AAV. You've got the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, 14th highest paid quarterback AAV. You've got Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks, 20th highest paid quarterback. You've got the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, 22nd highest paid. And then you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, Justin Fields, 39th highest paid quarterback. So you've got no quarterbacks in the top 10 of pay AAV with a 3-0 record. And then the top five quarterbacks are combined 2-10. So the question becomes, even if Purdy proves that he's worth it, is any quarterback really worth this kind of money? Because you're seeing, I don't think Tua is very good. I don't think Lawrence is very good. I think Dak is good. I think Dak gets a lot of hate, but I think Dak's a good quarterback. Burrow, most people argue with me that he's better than Allen. And then you've got Love, who I think it's still out on him whether he is good or he's not. But you're seeing a mixed bag of guys getting paid that aren't producing wins because the rest of the team around them is not complete enough. So the question is, not just Brock Purdy, but are any of these quarterbacks really, truly worth this kind of money?
I think the answer is no. Here's the way I look at it. Who are the two best quarterbacks in the league?
Mahomes and Allen.
Clearly. They're a tier above.
Yep.
They're like generational, like two all-time great quarterbacks. I don't know that there's any other all-time great quarterbacks currently playing, but those two are clearly all-time greats. Okay. Yep. And you said they rank where in AAV?
13th and 14th.
Okay. And they're on good teams that are well-constructed and they're contenders. So how do you put together a better team than those guys with a quarterback who's more expensive and not as good? You can't. I mean, maybe if you just are the greatest draft, because some good luck goes your way, injuries, draft picks, but like ultimately you're working from a deficit. So it seems to me like Brock, hell of a player. I would not recommend offering him more than Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen currently make. And I understand that they signed a few years ago and the market has changed. It's just not smart. I wouldn't do it. You can't make more than Mahomes and Allen. Sorry, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, look at three of the final four teams last year. You had Goff before he got paid again. You have Brock, who's obviously the best bargain in football. You have Patrick Mahomes, who AAV ranks 13th. And then you had Lamar, who's wasn't even in the top five AAV, but, you know, he's in the top 10. So, I mean, the proof is kind of there right now that you don't want to pay big time money. And you're right. I mean, if Mahomes and Allen are the standard at quarterback, and you're going to pay above that going rate for your quarterback,
good luck.
You're already at a deficit at the most important position in football you go head-to-head with those guys. And now the rest of the team isn't as good because you can't pay enough to make them on the same level. It's like, well, what's the point?
Your quarterback is Dak, and he's making $20 million more a year than Mahomes? Good luck, dude. Where are you going? Like, your quarterback is Jalen Hurts, and he makes more than Mahomes. What? Can't take you seriously.
No.
You're not going to win the Super Bowl.
No, you cannot.
No.
No, you cannot.
So and the like Niners said, haven't made that mistake yet.
But there are some good quarterbacks in there. I mean, Dak and Burrow, I think, are good quarterbacks. Some think Burrow's elite, but I'm sorry. Burrow's not as good as Mahomes or Allen. And his team's making way more. Yes.
I'm not saying it's 100% because Burrow makes a lot of money, but that's part of it.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say it's not 100% on Burrow. I mean, he's played fine. At least he did last game. But that team, they lost Mixon this offseason. They lost some defensive players over the last couple of years. They lost arguably the best safety in football who's over on the Falcons now. So those players you have to get rid of. And then they're going to lose one of these two receivers. They still haven't found a way to pay Ja'Marr Chase. He's pissed off. And then you're going to lose most likely T. Higgins. Like, you just have to strip away talent constantly when these guys are making that much money. And that's not a way to win. So I hope that not only the front office, and I hope that Brock Purdy's also aware, like, hey, I do want to win. Yes, I want to make a lot of money, but I do want to win also. There has to be a happy medium in here. There has to be. Because $60 million is just, it's not going to happen. If you couldn't win at $1 million with three chances at it, you're not going to win at $60 million. You're just not.
I feel like what was smart about what the Chiefs and Bills did. They, when they extended Allen and Mahomes, Mahomes particularly, it was really long extensions. Was Mahomes a 10-year extension?
10-year contract, right. Yeah.
So what you can do is, at first, he's like the highest paid. Like at, when Mahomes signed that contract, he was probably the highest paid quarterback mm-hmm. in the league. Mm-hmm. But eventually, the market goes up. You're locked into a rate. And every year, you drop down and you're locked in. And it's guaranteed. Like that was, that is a smart play. As opposed to giving a guy like a 4-year deal, give him a 10-year deal. If he's that guy, if he's really that guy, mm-hmm. lock him in. And in a few years, he'll be a bargain. And you'll have a Hall of Fame quarterback at mid prices. But you got to be certain he's that guy. And as good as Purdy is, I'm still not certain he's a future Hall of Famer. He might be. He might be. But I don't know. No one knows.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing, too, and this is where teams with like the Bills and like the Chiefs, what you can do is you continuously kick the can down the road with those quarterbacks. And then when they retire, you have a year where you're just paying a crap ton of money because you kick the can. But that's your rebuild year anyway. So you're losing the Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not going to be good. Take a major cap hit for 1 year, and then you can start over again. That's really what the Chiefs and these guys are doing. It's like you give them a long contract. You just kick the can. When Mahomes retires, you're going to have like a cap hit of like $150 million. It's going to be asinine. But it doesn't matter. Mahomes just retired. You're not winning that year anyway. So just suck for a year, then go draft another quarterback and do it all over again.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, everyone wants to have the quarterback on the rookie deal. Great. It just seems like really hard. It's still really hard to get the quarterback right. There's a lot of busts, but there's that middle ground where you can get a good quarterback, pay him in middle of the market money, and there's an actual chance where he can actually outperform his deal, even if he's making $30 million a year or 35 or 40, but at 55, like, pfft, dude, even if you're putting up Pro Bowl numbers, you're not earning that because Mahomes is better than you and he's making less.
Well, and Burrow's a great example of this. Again, a lot of people thought he was the second best quarterback in the league going into this year. Even he can't transcend a roster when he's making that much money. So let that be a lesson.
Let's hit some super chats. We've been neglecting him for an hour. Joey Mellon says, hella heat.
That's like a lot, I think.
That's a lot. We say, that's how we say it out here in the Bay. NC Niner fan says, Grant Schatz was fired on another channel.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm so surprised.
It's never happened before. Well, thanks for telling me twice. Generic name says, Bosa has been a bad investment at this point. It appears as if he enjoys running past the quarterback. Damn.
He's got to get in his steps, man.
It's crazy how fans have no grace for a player after they get paid. When they're on the rookie deal, those guys are saints.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they get paid, it's like, dude, you need to. And that's going to happen to Brock, too, man. Brock's everyone's little brother right now. As soon as he's making all that money, they're going to be like, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it goes. Yep. HR says these Niners have reached their high water mark as a runner up. They're on the decline. Purdy might get a ring in 2030 after a full rebuild. Man, that's bleak.
Yeah, that's super bleak.
That's just a 2-game losing streak talking right there. Will you feel that way in a week? Maybe. All Niners says, Grant, pressers aren't like a conversation you have with a friend where honesty and openness are implied. So how do you evaluate, interpret the responses you get from coaches, players? Good question. I think every journalist has to have a good BS meter. And I think good journalists are good at feeling when they're being lied to. So I don't know. It's instincts. Instincts. You know, they talk about instincts for the football. Like, were you born with those? How does that work? Were you just like born just be like, where is it? Where's the football? I have an instinct for it. I have a
Grant flies. Grant flies around to tough questions. Man, if there's a tough question floating around, he's after it.
That's right. Kles Limperio says, has anybody talked to Coach Kasarik about no pressure D line? Thought he's supposed to be so good. I'd never hear anybody question him. Rock on.
He's not ever really in front of the media though, is he? It's hard to
twice a year, but it's like, yeah, they pay him all this money. Like, well, where is the Kasarik effect gone?
You know what I love about Kyle?
Three most important Niners for remainder of the season. Trent.
Oh, well, hold on. I was going to say, you know what's funny? I love this about Kyle. You'll ask Kyle about somebody and then he'll say, I don't know, ask them. We don't ever see them, Kyle. When am I supposed to ask?
Bring him out here.
Somebody asked about Pearsall. Well, you know, psychologically, I don't know. Ask him. When? Where? How's that supposed to happen?
Yeah, I'll call him up. Trent Baalke wants to know the three most important players for the remainder of the season.
Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, because if CMC doesn't come back, they don't have a running back, and then Fred Warner.
Nick Bosa.
Actually, No. I'm going to say Bosa, because they don't have anybody else on the D-line. So
Ayuk is the next Terrence Flagler. I don't know who Terrence Flagler is.
I don't know who Terrence Flagler is either.
Bill Kennedy says, sorry, off topic, which NFL teams have the best, worst media hospitality? Who puts on the best spread? I like this question. Mm. The Rams put on a great spread.
Did they?
It was the food was terrific. There were little pizza pockets, hot pockets. There was like a pasta salad. There was brunch. There was lunch. There was all kind of stuff. They do good there. They also had lots of Sour Patch Kids waiting for you, as many as you could eat, which is dangerous for me. It's dangerous. Levi's does a pretty good job. Seattle does a pretty good job. There's some bad ones out there. Arizona's terrible, but the Rams put on a nice spread.
Interesting.
I like that. Dave Barkley says, Grant, please name your firstborn Juwan Cone. Yeah, I said that. Juwan. It'll be his first name or his middle name. I haven't decided. Dave Barkley says, Kyle said Juice was in the backfield for I formation. Yeah.
Yeah, the threat of it.
Sean Shepard says, come on, Jesse. Ayuk is average at best. Name the game he has taken over like the other stars. Zero.
Listen, I said that if you want to dog him, it's warranted, but hold everybody else accountable. And if you want to actually know what's going on, again, week three, he had the best separation rate out of any wide receiver the whole entire season in any individual game. So you can hear like the easy thing is to sit up here and say, the offensive line sucks and the wide receivers don't get separation. Anybody can say that. But the reality of the situation is the offensive line and pass protection has been above average by all statistical measures. And Brandon Ayuk is getting open. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Dave Barkley says, how often we run I formation, Kyle is smug. But it's the threat of it. Dustin the Gale says, could the investment in Ayuk be a long-term play? Right now, he may be option four, but that could change once Debo, CMC, and Kittle ride into the sunset and the offensive scheme changes.
That was my argument. That was my argument.
Absolutely. And I think Jennings is in that boat too. Antonio Moreno says, Bosa looks so slow off the line. The All-22 shows him losing 1v1s a lot. He never makes a play to close when you need him to, like Chris Jones.
He did a couple years ago when he was a defensive player of the year.
Bosa, they're starting to notice. Don't turn into your brother. Don't fade into the sunset like your brother did. This guy says, gentlemen, be honest, how close are we to a rebuild?
Listen, I said in March, and I kind of left it alone after that if it were me, I would have started the retool this offseason. I would have gotten rid of CMC. I would have let Trent retire or just stayed on his contract for one more year. I would have gotten rid of Debo because I felt like if you don't win a Super Bowl this year, and it's probable that you weren't, no matter how good you were, that's going to set your franchise back another 2 years because you're going to have to pay all these players. And that's what they did. And so now you're in a situation where you're most likely not going to win this year. And now that retool, I mean, you can't start it next year because CMC's guaranteed.
Right.
As is Trent Williams. Debo Samuel, you just kicked the can down the road. So even if you cut him next year or trade him, you're still paying him a lot of money to not be on this team. Same thing with Eric Armstead. So to me, I would have started it this year. And I said that in March, but nobody wanted to hear it then.
Agree. Hold on. Boom. We need to grab Brita, says NC Niner fan. Did anyone pick him up? No, he's a free agent. Pick him up. Michael Bach says, you'll be around after Kyle is gone. I'm sure.
Probably he will be.
Unless Kyle's going to be here for life. I mean, Dave Barkley says, ready for Pats to beat us. JJ equals the truth. Trade Kyle. They better not lose to the freaking.
They lose to the Pats. It's about to get nasty.
You have a coach shortlist for next season. I mean, Ben Johnson is the guy I'm looking at. I like what he does with Jared Goff. What could he do with Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Fish and Chip says, BA is a top wide receiver at the top of the route. The rest, no. He's very good at the top of the route. If I've ever said it before, you guys rock, says Dave Barkley. So do you, Dave.
I feel like you have. Thank you, Dave.
Keith Murphy says, Ayuk is Samson after cutting dreads. Shake my head. Ooh. Samson, biblical. Santos Camacho III says, unless we win a Super Bowl, he should not be paid top money. Talking about Purdy.
Mm.
We'll see. Dave Barclay, if I've ever said it before, trade Kyle.
No, he also never
says,
once.
Bunch of winners in the chat, all better than Kyle. Keith Murphy says, to be fair to Burrow, I wouldn't compare their front office to Brett Veach and Reed. True.
Yeah.
Shady Luke says, I think you're nutty if you think Ayuk sucks.
Hey, that's a Philly. That's a Philly fan.
That's right. All Niners says, how is that separation stat calculated? Is it skewed from broken coverage?
There's a couple different ones. There's one that was floating around the first couple weeks, which is only on routes ran when the ball's thrown your way, which is definitely a skewed concept. And then the other one is every route ran, which is that's where he ranks number one. So yeah, I mean, everything counts, I guess, but it's every route ran.
Did you hear Kyle Shanahan kind of like temper that stat today? Like, I think it was Barrows. He was like, hey, have you seen the stat that Brandon Ayuk is getting the most separation in the league? Like, are you seeing that too? Is that checking out with the eye test? And he's like, yeah, you know, he faced a lot of zone coverage this week. It's like, oh, thanks, Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle's
a wet blanket on everything that
always
goes
as opposed to Jim Harbaugh would be like, oh my god, he's the greatest wide receiver I've ever seen, and he's a superhero. Kyle's like, yeah, you know, he's okay.
Like, yeah.
Did you just tell your owners to give this guy all the money?
Yeah,
it's okay. Wild. Vin Wynn says, why they not putting Hufanga as linebacker along with Warner and Mustafa at safety?
They did have Hufanga playing linebacker quite a bit in that game, actually.
How about that? Shady Luke, I wish fans would realize if you just start doing football moves out of nowhere, it's a lot on your body. I just do football moves out of nowhere most of the time. I'll just drop into a three-point stance. I'll tackle people in public. I get in trouble, but it's fun. Herbie Holland says, Jesse, I was with you on the rebuild. The Super Bowl window closed in February.
Yeah.
JT Ray says, you showed up late, but when is 44? Yo, showed up late, but when is 44 going to start sharing reps so Mason can stay fresh?
I don't know if you want him sharing reps.
Garendo.
Patrick Garendo. Taylor, one of them.
Oh, yeah, he's on the team. I forgot about him.
Is TDP still a free agent? Bring him back.
Trey Sermon is actually playing.
I know he is.
Well, look, that's the end of the show. Stop sending in super chats. You guys are 30 seconds behind, so I'm going to keep talking for 30 seconds because I hate when I end the show and people send in super chats. I feel like I'm stealing, so it's on you. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Show's over. We're 30 seconds ahead. It's been the best show we've ever had in show history. This is number one.
No, yeah, number one.
Oh, yeah. We just got the stats in. This is it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can top this next week, but probably not.
We had more separation this week than any other show. Yeah.
The stats prove it. Thank you for watching, everyone. Jesse, are you doing anything after this?
Not tonight. I've got Behind Enemy Lines tomorrow night at 10. And then we got the four-man front tomorrow night, 10 Eastern. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, over on Ryan G. Hensley's channel. So make sure you check that out. Myself, Grant, Ryan, and Coach. Be there or be square.
Yeah, don't be square.
Don't be square.
Don't be square. Yeah, just be there. See you guys.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.